I'd like to begin by congratulating you on being the first recipient of the Charleston Chichester Award for Lifetime's Excellence in Short Fiction. I know that you've received very many illustrious awards. Does this particular award have any special resonance for you?
Yes, it does. It has enormous resonance for me. It's an award for what I do best, which is to write short stories. I also write novels, as you know, but short stories are what I love and have always loved since a child. And it does mean a great deal to me.
So now I'm going to go back a little bit in time. I know you were born in County Cork. You spent your childhood in rural Ireland and studied history at Trinity College Dublin. But you've elected to spend by far the longest portion of your life here in the West Country of England and in Europe. Do you still consider yourself an Irish writer?
Oh, totally. Absolutely, totally. I think we have a way in Ireland of emigrating rather swiftly sometimes. I left Ireland not because I wanted to or not because I was attracted by other places. I left Ireland because I couldn't make a living there. It was in very bad times, and there was no way that I was going to be able to bring up even a small family unless I took on work which I really wouldn't want to do. I wanted to write, and I was determined to write, and I was also determined to somehow or other to do justice to the small gift that I have, and that has ruled the roost, really, rather than I myself. Circumstances are a kind of father figure for me, and I obligingly obey them.
Right. Yeah. So when you talk about a tradition of Irish writers, obviously Joyce comes to mind, who wrote about Ireland from outside Ireland. Do you think that an outsider's perspective can sometimes be a spur to creativity?
Yes, I do. I do. I think an outsider is essential sometimes, not always, by any manner of means. But I feel that writing as I did from the start, as an Irish person, but not necessarily writing purely Irish things. I just wrote. I could have written the same novels and short stories had I never left Ireland, but not about Ireland. I would have written them about France, about England, wherever it was I was brought up. It didn't really matter. One can make too much of the fact that one's Irish or Spanish or whatever, and one can fall in love too much with it. Mm. Or you can take the other line and actually dislike it intensely. I have no interest in myself. I never think about myself. I never concern myself about myself. I just do it. And so that afterwards, when I meet somebody like you and you ask me questions, they do sound strange, but of course they're not. You're just painting the picture, which is absolutely correct.
When you're talking about the outsider's perspective, perhaps you're saying a little bit of detachment is sometimes necessary.
Yes, I think that is true, and I would say absolutely that is so. And if the detachment isn't there, the tendency with me would have been to put it there somehow or other, to find the detachment. And I often wonder why, especially when I first wrote, I wrote so much about women rather than men. And I think that was a sort of bit of determined detachment, moving away from what I knew so very, very well.
Right, that's really interesting. And given that you have lived away from Ireland for most of your life, is it a total coincidence that you've fetched up in the west of England, very close to Hardy Country?
Well, it was a delight to be close to Hardy Country, because I'm very fond of Hardy. And I did learn a great deal from Thomas Hardy, and also learned a great deal about his places and his belongings and his land and yields. And that does play a part. It's not a very big part, I don't think, but it does play a part.
Yeah.
And I'm absolutely without any regret that I came to England when I did, and that I used England as England should be used.
Yeah.
After all, England had used Ireland in its way.
Yeah.
So I'm very happy with about what happened to me personally when it links with my writing life.
Yeah, and so you acknowledge an affinity with Hardy and also an affinity with Chekhov?
People tell me that, and I think it's true. I wait for them to say these things first, and then I sort of wonder about them.
Yeah.
And very, very few people get that wrong. They do spot quite easily the influences and the little nuances which give away something. And I'm fond of both those writers very much.
I imagined you would be. Going back to your sort of early days, did you feel from the beginning that writing was going to be your first creative vocation?
Yes, I did. I felt that. I wouldn't use the word vocation because I was very, very young. I was very much a child when I first wanted to write, and I just didn't. I just somehow or other thought that the business of creating stories, something out of nothing, was very, very interesting, and I wanted to do it. And that was only one part of something. There was something else was telling me that you can do this, you know. You're not good at anything, but you're good at this.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept that up all my life, really. I first wrote as a child, in age, I suppose, about seven, eight. And we were given an essay every Friday, and an essay about St. Patrick or Shamrock or whatever. And I used to ignore all that, and I built around those difficult titles what I saw in them. I mean, you have to move miles away from them, it felt like, write about something else altogether, but you are still making the point. And I suppose in a sense that is that's a good thing to do, because it creates originality in you.
So you used your imagination from the word go.
Yes, that's what I am saying. I did use the imagination from the word go. After all, a child of that age has to use imagination. Mm. There's no real life that he can do anything about.
Yeah. The early part of your career, you put writing aside and you spent some time as a sculptor.
I think what happened was that I was writing away sort of quite happily. And then I discovered that I was also interested in the shape of things, and I was also interested in wood carving. I didn't know, nobody taught me, I didn't know anything about it, but I just, for some reason, I don't think it was the influence of Henry Moore, nothing like that, although I'm a great admirer of his. It was simply that there was something else that one could do, and I suppose there might have been a doubt in my mind as to whether or not writing was going to fulfil it, because I had a great longing for carving. I was fond of wood before I carved wood, and then I spent many years as a professional woodcarver, and I had the good fortune to win a sort of international competition, which I didn't deserve, and that pushed me on a bit and made me seem a sort of more serious and more devoted sculptor than in fact I was. But it was the difference between the two things, I think, was the difference between writing and sculpture is so great that it's fascinating. And I was doing both of them at the same time. Mm. And also I found that nobody else was actually at my age, and for a long time afterwards, right away into the teens and beyond, nobody was doing anything in the world of sculpture. And I liked that. I liked the emptiness of it. And I fell upon it very, very easily. I knew that the writing was still there, but I had no idea at that time whether or not I would eventually give up writing or kick it aside and just become a sculptor. But that was in my mind. I did a lot of tombstones and all sorts of things to make a living. And somehow or other, I liked it, but I knew that sooner or later something was going to snap in some way, and I was going to do...
One of them would dominate.
Yes, yeah. One was going to dominate the other one and say, no, stop that, yeah. get on with what you're good at. And I didn't know what I was good at in the end. I knew I was, although I still like some of my sculpture at the same time, there's a touch that it doesn't have, and I can't identify that, but it doesn't have something.
So writing won.
Writing did win, yes. Did win.
Yeah. Well, in the context of Charleston, it's interesting that you combine an early career for making art in the form of sculpture as well as a long-standing talent as a writer. Do you think there's a link between wielding a chisel and crafting a short story?
Yes, absolutely. You do? Certainly, yes. Yeah. They are very similar. I mean, it sounds absolutely absurd. People must think I'm mad, but they are very similar in my mind. The word crafting, which you used, is very much what you do, and you have to be able to do that. And I'm glad my life was as it was in that respect.
And do you think both of them, sculpting and particularly working in a short story form, are they about reducing material to its essence? Is it about discarding any waste?
They are similar. Most people don't recognise, but you've just recognised that they're similarity, that there's no waste. And what you do with them... writing, you don't have to push everything away. Your words are still all around you. Mm-hmm. It's all rather rough and ready, I think, and which I like.
Well, as you mentioned, that you mainly used wood as your raw material for sculpting. Can you say anything at all about where you find your raw material for your fiction?
The raw material for fiction... I think one finds in the same way. You find it in the oddest places. It starts with people. Usually something that sort of gives you a kickstart is a person or what a person says or some experience, some little small thing. And then you go on with that. It's the opposite in many senses from sculpture because you are not doing quite the same thing. It's a different process. Both of them, I've always found the actual practice of very enjoyable.
What would you say the primal sources of your writing?
Well, I think the most the one that comes to mind immediately is the fact that I write out of a sense of curiosity, my own curiosity, and. I've been aware of that really since really long before I became any kind of writer at all. I am a curious chap, and I want to know. I'm not in the nosy Parker way, but rather like it. I want to find out about people, and I'm not terribly social, but it always strikes me as that is the main characteristic in me as a person and as a writer, that I am doing that out of curiosity. And in a way, that also applied to me when I was woodcarver, because, of course, I knew nothing about that, and most people didn't know anything either. So it was, again, a sort of journey guided by curiosity.
A journey of discovery. And do you listen in people's conversations, say on a bus or in a restaurant? Do you eavesdrop?
Oh, good heavens, of course I do, yes. That's the most... I never cease to do that. And I can... Even if I'm talking to somebody else or to other people, I was talking to you, one half of me will be listening to the people just behind me. And I would, generally speaking, I find that what the people just behind me are saying much more interesting than what the people are saying to me.
So from the point of view of your material, would you say that your material was always all around you for your work?
Material is always around me, yes. It's on the street or in a bus or whatever. As soon as people begin to talk, or their faces, their hands... None of it escapes my beady eye. That's often been used, that expression about me, that I do seem to poke my nose in where it shouldn't be at all. But I do have this enormous curiosity, especially about people and how they work and why that has happened and why this has happened. And I go on worrying about it and trying to work it out. Even now at this great age, I still don't know enough. So that has to happen first before I'm really inspired to go on and write something.
Yeah, you are regarded as a writer as a particularly acute observer of the human condition. So that has been something that's motivated you, wanting to understand human behaviour.
I don't know what I wouldn't claim that anything really impressive did motivate me. I think that it's probably is just rather like the colour of my eyes, you know. Yeah. There you have it. There's nothing.
You can't help yourself.
No, you can't help yourself. No, you can't. Yeah. That is right.
Has anybody, to your knowledge, ever recognised themselves in any of your stories or novels?
Yes, unfortunately, they have, but they are not. They don't come in kind of a full-bodied person.
No,
as
I'm
it
sure.
Were.
Not, they, yeah.
They're all altered and everything else. And mostly what people see in them actually isn't there, because I know it isn't. But what is there, they don't see, especially about themselves.
Yeah.
Nobody has ever complained, and I think it's now a bit too late for them to complain. Nobody's ever complained about what I've done, although I have been harsh quite often. And I'm going to say what I think, because I got a good plot there sitting waiting for me to write. I am going to write it. It's a mixture. I think writing fiction is a mixture of really of retaining reality, but also inventing within that reality. It's a complicated sentence, but that's what I think.